There's so many rich treasures found in fasting for us to access more of God's presence that I feel like the enemy has tried to marry it with the religious spirit to keep us away because he knows how powerful it is.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour.
Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in to what's going to be an extraordinary episode of Live Your Best Life today with, of course, me, Liz Wright, and my beautiful friend who's joining me for today's conversation is an author of many profound and loved books. She is a specialist in revival history. She's literally a walking encyclopedia of all things revival. And she's a revivalist herself. When she speaks around the nations, Holy Spirit moves powerfully and people's lives are transformed. And her new book, Feasting on God's Presence, is really, it's a profound experience that she's inviting you into. So you're going to hear more about that today. It's my joy. I'm so excited because today's conversation is going to be very, very powerful for all of you. I'm so excited to welcome my dear friend, Jen Miskoff. Jen, welcome.
Oh, Liz, so good to be back with you. I miss you, my friend.
I know, I miss you too. I love it when we get to have time together. It's like the world changes, right? Every conversation, we birth another creative project or yeah. Some revelation drops. Oh, no, it's great to see you. Thank you for jumping onto the conversation today. Okay, I want to start doing a deep dive because the content of your new book, it seriously takes people by the hand and takes them deeper into a rich experience with Jesus, doesn't it? And I've been devouring it, like reading through it going, oh, this is just rich. It's beautiful. Okay, and the fasting that you talk about in it, okay, I've just got to read your language. Call it the fire fast of intimacy and consecration. And I just, oh my gosh, that's profound. Okay, so can we jump off there? Talk to us about what do you mean by that? So will you unpack that?
Yeah, I just feel like so many people have the wrong perspective of fasting. It's tied to the religious spirit, shame, guilt, condemnation. And I just felt there needs to be a revolution of what fasting really is, because it is feasting on God's presence. There's acceleration. It's basically a pathway into greater intimacy and how we can align ourselves to grow in hunger for God. I just feel like there's so many rich treasures found in fasting for us to access more of God's presence that I feel like the enemy has tried to marry it with the religious spirit to keep us away because he knows how powerful it is. And so this book just literally, it holds people's hands to walk them on just a fast, not for breakthrough, not for getting God to give us something, but literally fasting so we can feast on his presence. We can minister to him. We can know him and walk in greater union.
Oh, I love it, Jen. Okay, so there, the actual, I mean, I love it. You're redefining fasting for people in a really healthy biblical way. And it's so needed because I know, like, you know, we've talked before, it becomes a work for people. It becomes an effort. And like you say, people drop into shame and they drop into guilt if they're not doing it right, or they think they have to do something to get the Lord's favor. But I love your language that this is actually providing a space and a lifestyle that enables us to accelerate in our walk with Jesus. And there was something else as well that you were talking about in the book. And I thought, yeah, it's the what you've discovered in all your years of research when you've studied, obviously at PhD level, revival history, the link between this kind of fasting as a lifestyle and the major moves of God. Can we go there? Will you just talk to us?
Okay. Let me just give you a few little facts that it's going to blow you away.
Yeah. So I love this subject.
Heidi Baker was on a 5-day fast as a teenager when the Lord gave her life-defining calling to Africa, England, and Asia. The handful of people meeting at Bonnie Bray House April 9, 1906, in Los Angeles, were on a 10-day fast when the Holy Spirit crashed in and Azusa Street Revival, thus Pentecostalism, was born on a 10-day fast. Our friend, Pastor Todd Smith, North Georgia Revival, they were on a 21-day fast when the Lord gave him a vision and the North Georgia Revival was launched. Randy Clark went on, I think, two 40-day fasts just before the Toronto Blessing was launched in the 90s. And so many moves of God have been birthed when a handful or even one person said, I'm hungry for God. I'm not going to eat until you baptize me with the Holy Spirit. That was Amy Symbol McPherson. You know, I'm so hungry for God, like I'm going to stay in this place. So we have revival history, revival movements birthed on the other end of fast. John Wesley, the original circuit riders, like the OG, the original ones, where you go on horseback. The requirement to be a circuit rider, the basic requirement was fasting 2 days a week. I believe it was Wednesdays and Fridays, because there's something with fasting that keeps you burning. And even Jesus says, when you fast, not if you fast. And so there was a kind of an assumed rhythm. If you're going to be a burning ones fast and fasting ones burn. So, I mean, come on. Like, why would you not want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and all these major revival leaders who've embraced not just like a one-time fast, but like a lifestyle fasting? I know Heidi, she fasts on Mondays at her team for many years. I fast on Mondays. I learned that in college and I just kept doing it. And it just keeps the fire, keeps the oil, you know, keeps my fire burning in a weekly rhythm, and it trains my spirit. So if the Lord calls me to a longer fast, I'm already training my spirit, you know, so I'm ready to dive into all that he has.
Yeah, I love it. It's so powerful, isn't it? And I know, obviously, we've talked lots over the years. You live this as a lifestyle, like you're saying, you fast on Mondays. Mm-hmm. So what, when you look back at your life, can you see the significant impact that fasting, this kind of lifestyle, has had on you personally?
Yeah, absolutely. I learned it in college. We had a spiritual disciplines class, and our assignment was to fast one day a week. And that was my senior year. So I fasted Mondays and I got straight A's, like my best grades that semester. It helped me be disciplined. And literally for the last 25 years, I just continued on. I never gave up that. Obviously, I didn't do it religiously every Monday. I'm sure I missed some. But there's something about resetting my spirit every week, refining. Like if you're fasting once a week, you're burning. You're not playing in the world. You're not, like, it just resets you, but it's a reset every week. And it's training our spirits, like Olympic athletes, like they have to train, you know, their bodies. But what does it look like to train our spirit? So if the Lord does call us into a 5-day, 21-day, 40-day fast, we're already prepared to lean into that. We're already ready. So for me, it's been a beautiful, I don't even want to use the word discipline. It's been a beautiful pathway to greater intimacy and greater hunger for the Lord that's helped me train and prepare my spirit to step into greater breakthroughs, into greater yieldedness, into greater intimacy, greater self-control. And just, I think that has been a key in my life that's helped me stay burning.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do it for myself when I can feel that my soul is wanting to take over. You know how we can move into soul power very fast, and our emotions are leading and it just becomes a mess quite quickly. I find the same thing. I do it always to just bring the body, the appetites of the body and the strength of my emotions back into submission under Holy Spirit, under my spirit, so that the order of my being internally is rightly aligned. Mm-hmm. And I've found the same thing, Jen. If I start to get a little bit tired, spiritually tired, spiritually dull because of the pressures of life, or I'm just basically physically tired, I find that it refreshes me. I love what you just said. It's a reset. It really does reset us, doesn't it? It really, especially for those of us that are spiritually tired right now, it's a massive key that the Lord gives us to just shift and reorder is on the inside, mm-hmm. so that we can just resensitize again. That's how I find it affects me. I resensitize back into the awareness of his presence And it's like I settle down on the inside, and then like revelation begins to flow, passion begins to bubble up, that burning priority of his presence, it begins to rise inside you again, doesn't it? And it fine tunes you. I love your language as well. It's like an athlete. These are the, yeah, I agree with you. They are the disciplines of the Christian life, but they're the privileges, aren't they? They're the keys to our secret life in God remaining alive. It's just, yeah, seriously powerful. And also then it takes you deeper into, I believe, well, for me, it's been about more encounters with him because I'm more sensitive. The distractions of the world are put under my feet, so to speak, when I give myself a day apart with him. So you're not just stopping eating on a Monday, right? I think that's also important to differentiate for people. This isn't just about starving ourselves from food, right? It's actually being set apart to prioritize his presence for that period of time. Feasting, like you said, that's the difference.
Yeah, and that's a huge thing because if you're just going without food, you're starving yourself. That's not a spiritual fast. We're talking about spiritual fasting where you say no to one thing to say yes to something else. So when we say no to food, then in those times where we feel hunger pains, that's when we read the word, we worship, we soak, we wait in silence, we pray with a friend. And it's being intentional to bring in either sometimes even new rhythms into your life in that time. And so we're feasting, and it does grow your spiritual hunger when you're desperate for just him and he alone satisfies and he becomes the bread of life. I mean, I'm still living 13 years later, Liz. I went on a 40-day juice fast in the end of 2011, right before a big transition. I moved back from England, PhD, was moving to Reading, didn't know anyone. No, I got ordained by Heidi, and it was through Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's was when I got ordained. And then the next month, I went through one of the hardest months of my life. No place to live, blow up air mattress on my friend's, floor for a month. No car, no open doors. And then in February of 2012, the amount of breakthrough that happened following this 40-day fast, Destiny House was birthed, Writing in the Glory was birthed, different books were birthed. And I'm still 13 years later riding in the momentum of what was birthed on the other end of that 40-day fast. And same with, School Revival. I did a 10-day fast and then I launched it in actually Norway. I did a 10-day fast in Norway, launched it in Germany. And this is years ago, so I'm still riding in the momentum a decade later of me setting apart time just to feast on God's presence. And I'm not a crazy faster. I'll be, I've never done a 40-day water fast. I know I have friends that have, and bless them for they have the grace. I think I'm just a consistent faster. I'm good at the like long term, like let me just do one day a week. And it's basically Sunday I eat dinner. And then Monday, I just skip breakfast and lunch. And then I eat dinner Monday night. It's not that hard. It's about 24 hours. And I just lean into God's presence. And it's such a beautiful rhythm. My mom does it. Our team does it. Like, I think Heidi still does it. I mean, she was doing it when I lived in Mozambique 20 something years ago. But it's a beautiful rhythm to stay full of the oil and just stay burning. And I feel that burn, like the two walked on the road to Emmaus. There's something by embracing a lifestyle of consecration, of fasting to feast on the Lord. For me, I know that's been one key in my life that's helped me stay burning.
Yeah, and I love that is that you give him the first fruits of your every week, that you've managed to be able to organize your life so that Monday is his, and you've suppressed the appetites of the your body and so forth, and just but it is it's like your heart. Like the scripture, isn't it, where the Lord says to us, seek me with all of your heart and you'll find me. It's like that on the inside, isn't it? It is for me as well. I just, when I give him that time and I just put everything else aside, and that's what your heart is saying to him. I give you to the best of my ability all that I am right now. I'm so hungry, even in the tiny movements of my heart. I might feel very tired, but and that my hunger is My spiritual hunger is slightly emaciated, but still, it's authentic, those authentic movements of our heart towards him. And he just runs to us, doesn't he? So to speak, it's like he embraces us because we genuinely desire him. And then it's like Holy Spirit just fans the flames and breathes on the inside. And suddenly you find your passion for him is igniting again or increasing. And that, yeah, and he's longs to reveal more of who he is to our hungry little hearts. It's just, it's the biblical way. I love it. I was going to ask you, Jen, when in all your studies, like who has influenced you over the years more than anyone else? Is there somebody that you've just gone, yeah, they've impacted my life unquestionably when you've looked at their passion for the Lord and how they've lived and their fasted lifestyle?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, it's Carrie Judd Montgomery. No surprise, I did my PhD on her. She pioneered the earliest healing homes in our nation, but she was hungry for God. I mean, there's one encounter she had where she went to visit a friend who had a deeper encounter of the Holy Spirit. And so she wanted to receive impartation and pray with this woman. And the woman says, "Hey, the dinner's ready." And Carrie's like, "I don't want food. I want God." And she just waited in God's presence. She had this amazing encounter. She was healed. Later on, she was hungry for even more, was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1908 at around 50 years old. But I mean, she had greater encounters even after those radical, life-changing encounters. She stayed hungry into, until the day she died. And her hunger just increased. And she was always ready for more of God and positioning herself to feast on more of God's presence and live in the glory. And so she's radically, I mean, she became a spiritual mother I never met. Her and Heidi Baker's obviously a live spiritual mother, but by spending time reading and feasting on Carrie's inner life and her readings, I received so much impartation from her life for greater faith, for ability to be in God's presence and and look at it even beyond encounter and look at it as the Holy Spirit, it's like a limitless ocean. Let's sink deeper into this limitless ocean. Let's learn how to breathe under the waters of the Holy Spirit and just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. So, yeah, her life radically changed my life.
Yeah, it's these are the treasures, aren't they, when we get to have an insight in side the secret life, the interior life of these generals that have gone before us, that were normal people that just had a hunger for more of him and then pursued him and changed history as a consequence of their relationship with him and their fasted lifestyle, where they just were uncompromising in their pursuit of him and the pursuit of more. I know I find the same thing. I remember being in Manchester in England and in the library there years ago, and I was able to read one of John Wesley's personal journals, his actual journal. We were doing some revival research, and so they allowed us, to with gloves on, to read his original journal, and it was so moving, so impacting to read that the wrestlings of his heart, how he'd personally journaled. I mean, I'm sure he never dreamt people would be reading them. But these were the wrestles of his heart before the Lord, and you could just, it so impacted me, his authenticity and his hunger before the Lord and his genuine passion to walk in righteousness and holiness before the Lord all the time and to know the Lord intimately, and to not compromise. And it was a particular extract where he was wrestling regarding a woman that he wanted to have a relationship with, and he knew that it wasn't of the Lord for him. And so he was in, the intensity of the emotion of that, but his choice was the Lord, you know what I mean? And just it was such a privilege being able to read that journal, you know what I mean? That those moments that were so private for his heart, but it impacted me so much, his purity before the Lord. You saw the man and his relationship behind the movement of Holy Spirit and the personal cost and the Not, I mean, he wouldn't have, I'm sure, counted it as a cost because his greatest joy was the Lord. And the same with Frances Metcalfe, the Golden Candlestick Ladies, when I started to read her writings and go on the journey looking at her. Same thing, what you've just said, Jen. I felt like I was meeting the heart of a spiritual mother that I never knew,
Wow.
because she's
Yeah.
of course glory. She's in heaven now, but
Yeah.
it inspires you, doesn't it? They're so inspiring, and you realize, this is the walk. If we, the fruit of our relationship, if we'll just say yes to Jesus, he will move through our lives and change the world. He'll change our families, he'll change our communities, he'll move in the way that we're desiring him to, if we'll just give him that time, set ourselves apart, in this fasted lifestyle, and prioritize him, and he will overwhelm us with what he wants to do, right? And bring us into that partnership. And history shows us that, as you read these, the diaries of the people that have gone before us. It's amazing. I know. Okay, so I wanted to ask you another question, Jen. So through this lifestyle that you have lived, what is one of the most incredible, because I know you've had many, one of the most incredible experiences you've had with Jesus as a result of it?
That's a great question. And
I don't know the answer. I know some of your stories, but I don't know what you would say is like.
Yeah, no, this will probably help a lot of people. When I fast, a lot of times I actually don't feel anything during the fast. Some people, probably like Lou Engel, has these crazy revelatory dreams and all this stuff. Heidi's the same way. She doesn't feel anything during the fast, but before she feels the God's pleasure, and then after she feels him. But for me, 100% of the time after the fast, God, there's just crazy acceleration, increased anointing. Of course, there's moments on a fast where all the scriptures will be highlighted. Actually, one fast, the Lord spoke to me about something coming like 8 years from now, from when that, like it was in the future. He told me, when you're this old, this is going to happen. Like literally. And then I was like, God, how is that going to happen? And then like the next day I read in the Bible, like exactly the strategy for how that can happen. Like it was insane. And this isn't happened yet, but he actually gave me a download. When you turn this old, this is what I want you to do. And this is how I'm going to provide for you. And I'm like, whoa.
Wow.
So that happened on a fast.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so many, like so much breakthrough happens, even when I'm not even contending or praying for it, just by setting myself apart for him, like like family breakthrough. Or I have so many, I'm on a fast right now. I'm leading, our whole school is going on a 40-day consecration fast through the book right now. And we're about halfway done. And the amount of invitations I've gotten just by like fasting, like I'm like my next few months are so packed, and a lot of them came in the midst of this fast. There was some family breakthrough that happened, beautiful. And I'm like, I'm not even done yet. And I'm just like, God, I feel like fasting, especially longer fast, the Lord invites us into longer fast when we're pregnant, spiritually pregnant with something he wants to birth. And it's like a time where he's hiding us in the womb of his presence and preparing us and consecrating us because we're about to birth something. I 100% believe that, like these longer fasts, when the Lord invites you, it's because you're pregnant. And it's preparation. Joshua 3:5 says, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow I will do amazing things tomorrow. And so in this season of consecration, it's because God's preparing us to steward his glory, and steward his presence in a greater measure. So yeah, for me, it's different every time, but I honestly, in the midst of fasting, sometimes I don't really feel anything. I'm still reading the Bible. We pray every Monday, our team, we're all fasting, and God's moving. But many times after the fast, it's like a new season. And even after a longer fast, it's like a new decade, like a new era.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's like we prioritize him and he takes care of what matters to us, doesn't he? He just organizes our life and shifts and sorts things and just brings the breakthrough. And it's not because we're doing anything. It's because we're just enjoying him and setting ourselves fully apart, right? And it just creates a different life. One of the things I've found, Jen, is that because of my increased sensitivity when I fast, and I really just tune in to his presence and become more and more aware, I become aware of where I'm not believing him. That's one of the things he'll do. He'll reset me on the inside into a greater degree of purity, to say it like that, on, you know, where I'm just aligned more completely with his nature as a result of it. So I'll realize, you know, he'll make me aware, oh, I'm actually not trusting you with that. I'm actually in unbelief regarding that. And I'm holding a lot of tension and anxiety because of it. And then in that moment, he'll invite me to just, you know, be vulnerable and allow him to come in and dare to trust him again and get raw and real with him. And poof, there'll be a breakthrough. I'll just shift, you know, and his grace just dispenses through me. And I'm suddenly aware, like, oh, wow, I believe you. I trust you. You know, I let go. And in that moment of vulnerability and surrender, he just, he comes in and expands you, doesn't he? You just move, like you said, you then move into a different season. It's like you finish the fast and something new starts and you're ready. Yes. You're made ready. And you do, for me, I don't even notice half of what he's doing. I'm enjoying him and I come out of it and I'm like, oh, wow, I'm completely different again. Yay. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So, anyway, Chen, can I ask you, I would love you to pray because you carry so much fire and so much passion for his presence and such a high, high value for his presence, you know, manifesting and stewarding his presence. I just want to ask you to pray for those of us who maybe you guys are just feeling tired spiritually and you just want to be on fire again. I mean, obviously we encourage you to fast, to get Jen's book. It will help you through the journey, you know, to reset and to go deeper this way, but and use this powerful biblical tool. But can you just pray, Jen, for people, just for that beautiful passion and fire and that you carry of his presence to just explode into everyone?
And can I just want to read one quote before, because this kind of encapsulates the heart behind fasting to feast upon God. It's not religious. It's not breakthrough. It's just for him. And it's by our friend, Madame Jean Guyon, a French mystic. And she wrote a book called Experiencing the Depths of Jesus Christ. And this is in my book. And it's just kind of the heart of fasting to feast on the Lord. And she says, as you come to the Lord to pray, bring a full heart of pure love, a love that is not seeking anything for itself. Bring a heart that is seeking nothing from the Lord, but desires only to please him and to do his will. Learn to love God just because you love him, not because of his gifts, nor even his precious presence. And so, Lord, I just pray right now for the grace of fasting to feast upon you over everyone listening or watching this, Lord, that there would be a hunger, Lord. You say that we can pray for hunger. So I pray for an impartation of hunger to be released right now, Lord, that you would stir a hunger, that you would draw us to seek your face, God, that there would even be moments where we're not even trying to fast, but we're just so hungry and desperate for you. We're not eating because we're consuming the word of God. We're on our knees in prayer. We're desperate to know you more and to love you and to minister to your heart. Lord, I pray that you'd break any religious spirit or any spiritual abuse connected to fasting, where it's been this religious duty and it's been tied to guilt, shame, condemnation. I break that off in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you would reintroduce this pathway to greater intimacy in a way that's inviting, in a way that's pure, and in a way that leads people deeper into intimacy and union with you. So I thank you, God, for the burning. For the burning ones. And Lord, I pray that they would not just embrace like trying to fast once, but they would embrace a lifestyle of fasting to feast upon you, a lifestyle of consecration, a lifestyle of being a burning one, and that it would make all the difference in their lives as they come to you, not trying to get breakthrough, but they come to you simply to feast upon your presence. I bless each one of them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We agree. We agree. When Jen was praying then, I saw in the spirit Jesus drawing you close to himself and wrapping you in his arms. And I could see that he was wearing the tallit, the prayer shawl, you know, and the tassels on the prayer shawl representing the promises of God, the covenant promises of God. And I felt him and could see him drawing you deeply into himself. And then as your heart, your chest touched his, I saw the burning heart of Jesus releasing that fresh fire into you, and your heart igniting and expanding, just filled with light, filled with passion. So we agree. We agree. Thank you, Jesus, that our brothers and sisters watching and hearing this will experience a fresh ignition of love exploding inside of their hearts this week, that they'll experience your love enfolding them, your presence enfolding them, and a deepening of their relationship with you beyond anything that they have known this far. Amen. Oh, holy. We agree. Wow. His presence is so thick right now. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for a transforming week, a life transforming week in your presence. Amen for everybody. Jen, thank you so much. You are amazing.
Oh, I love you, Liz. So good to be with you.
Love you too. And we will put the links, guys, below the show so that you can click on and you can find Jen's book if you want to explore more. I'm sure you do. Have the most amazing week, and I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
Jesus said to me, if I would create a space for him, he would come, and he has. We now have people from all over the world as part of what has now become known as the International Mentoring Community, gathering together at his feet every week, and he is moving powerfully. And I want to invite you to come on this amazing journey together with us. Come and join the IMC.